Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's good to have you with us here this evening. It's Sunday, January 26, 2025, and it has been really, really cold here this past week. We were down in the single digits here in Virginia, which is kind of unusual. That happens from time to time. But it's just been steady cold. It hasn't come above freezing. We've had a little snow and ice over the past couple of weeks. But it's good to be here. It's fairly warm here in the studio. Yeah. It's a little chilly. You might hear a little, we're going to leave that blower running. You might hear a little background noise. We have a little heater on in here. But friends, it's good to have you here. We're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us on New Visions Radio all of these years since 2013.
Yes.
And it's just a blessing to be here each week. Now, in the coming weeks, my wife and I might be taking a trip, so you might get a rerun or two, and I just wanted to let you know. But if I have time while I'm gone, I will see if I can get maybe a sermon that one of us has done, produced, and get that on the air. We'll see what happens. If not, I know Ray will take care of us one way or another. So, Ed, would you tell us a little bit about this ministry, Prophecies of Hope?
Sure. We're located in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, which is very beautiful in the spring, summer, and fall. And we've been here since in this location since 2015.
Yeah.
1743 West Beverly Street.
Mm-hmm.
We have our services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where we have a Bible study and a prayer time. And we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday or the seventh day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Bible study at 9:30 and our worship hours at 11. And both our Bible studies are available via Zoom. And on the Sabbath, we live stream the Bible study as well as our church service.
Yeah. So now the Wednesday night Bible study, we do that via Zoom, like Ed said, but we don't stream that because it's a prayer meeting,
right,
and it's kind of a personal time for people to share some things that are on their hearts. And not everybody wants that out there for people to stream. But, you know, we really love for you to join us. And just a couple of things, Ed. If somebody wants to email you, how do they contact you?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. Or if you'd just like to send a general email, you can send it to office@prophecyhope.com. And we do get a number of emails, people sending it to office, where they'll inquire about the church and what time we meet and things like that. But that's just a little bit about this ministry. And also remember that every Sunday night here on New Visions Radio, you can catch a program by where we do a Bible study right here on the air. And if we're not here together, then we will run a sermon on that particular night. Ed, was there anything? Oh, one other thing. We want to encourage everyone here to open your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, contact us. We'll try to get a Bible to you wherever you are. And, you know, we just want each and every person to get a Bible in their hand and open it. Why is that so important, Ed, that people read the Bible?
For one thing, you need to see that we're reading the words on the page,
yeah,
that we're not making stuff up. That if you want to find out what the truth is, look at the words on the page.
Yes. And, you know, there's been a lot of times in my lifetime where I thought that a verse said something, and then when I read it more carefully, I found out, you know, I was moving the words around,
mm-hmm,
that was changing the meaning of the verse.
Right.
So this is why it's so important for us to look at it for ourselves and see what it actually says. And so we want to encourage you to do that. And if you have a Bible in your home, which most homes in America here in the United States do, I want to encourage you to just open it up and just read a couple of verses a day. Just try to do that. Well, even if it's random, and look around those verses. So it's just a little encouragement for you to read the Word of God, and hopefully you'll think about those things throughout the day and throughout the week, and it'll make a difference in your life. I know it has in mine.
Yeah.
So, Ed, is there anything else before we get started?
I don't think so.
Would you have a prayer for us,
sure,
please?
Sure, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're again thankful for this time we can spend in your word, the Bible, that it can give us wisdom and knowledge as how to live our lives, that we can also have understanding about the events that are to occur in this world, and that we can put our faith and trust and hope in you because you have given this knowledge through your word, the Bible. Mm-hmm. Father, as we study these things, we ask for wisdom and knowledge and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've been in the book of Revelation here in the last week or so.
Right.
And last week, the topic that we talked about was this gathering at Armageddon.
Yes.
What do we know about this? Where do we find
this
in the Bible?
Well, why don't we go to Revelation 16 and read verses 12 through 16.
Okay.
And I'm going to be reading from the Modern King James Version, starting in verse 12. And the sixth angel, this is talking about the last plagues mm-hmm. before Christ comes. And the sixth angel poured out his vial in the great river, Euphrates. And its water was dried up, so that the way of kings from the rising of the sun might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole earth to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is the one who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
Okay. So I just want to point out just a little parallel here.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, there were a time when there were plagues, mm-hmm. weren't there? And at that time that there were plagues, there were 10 plagues.
Right.
And the what do we know about those 10 plagues? There were a few of them. The first few didn't seem to affect. It seemed to affect everyone in the region, didn't it?
Well, you know, you're talking about when God was bringing his people out of captivity in Egypt.
Okay.
And he had Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh. And to demonstrate that they were from God, God gave them some miracles that were accomplished through his power. And it's interesting that these three first miracles, trying to convince the Pharaoh to let his people go, that they were reproduced by the king's magicians.
In other words, the devil can do miracles
right.
too. This right. is very important to know, especially at the end of time, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it's talking about right here in Revelation 16.
Absolutely. So the thing I wanted to point out, too, about this mm-hmm. these plagues, so we see a parallel, the Old Testament and the New Testament. This was God's people,
right?
So when we look at those first three plagues that were reproduced, the seven last plagues that at that time,
right?
The seven last plagues, while they were poured out on everyone there, the Israelites were protected from those plagues as long as they were living within the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, they didn't experience what the Egyptians experienced.
There you go. So this is very important for us to understand that God will protect his people no matter what the situation.
Right.
No matter what. So when we read about these last plagues here in Revelation, and there are seven of them, we don't have to fear these things if we're in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We can be protected through these things. So I just wanted to draw that
right.
parallel.
Yeah.
So that people would understand, because this can sound really fearful for people who
right.
never read this
yeah.
before. So go ahead.
You know, the reason we went here last week is because a lot of churches, a lot of people are teaching that God is going to get, that Jesus is going to gather his people together in Israel, in Armageddon, in Hermageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Armageddon. And which is a location, a mountain or a hill in the nation of Israel today. But if you look at the words on the page, it's not God's people that are gathered there. And the gathering is done by demons, not by Christ. And it's going to be for their destruction. And let me give you a verse in the Old Testament that talks about this very thing. And it's in the book of Zephaniah, which is called a minor prophet. It's a small book. It only has three chapters. In your Bible, after the book of Daniel, there's a lot. There's these minor prophets, very short chapters, most of them. And one of them is the book of Zephaniah. And in chapter 3, Mark, can you read verses 6 through 8?
Sure. And just to clarify, when you say minor prophets, it doesn't mean they're any less important than the others. It doesn't mean that they were under 18 either.
Right. It means that their books are small.
They're just tiny.
Compared to like
books.
Jeremiah, right. Ezekiel, Isaiah.
Right. So we're reading Zephaniah 3, 6 through 9?
Through 8.
Through 8. Okay, here we go. And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, I have cut off nations, their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate, with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction so that her dwelling would not be cut off. Despite everything for which I punished her, but they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord. That's Jehovah speaking. Mm-hmm. Until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
So here in Zephaniah, you know, this is talking about a prophecy. God has punished these nations, yet still they would not fear him. They still wouldn't receive his instructions.
Yeah.
In fact, it says in verse 7 in the Modern King James, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. As soon as they received their warnings, they corrupted their doings. They kept on doing evil in the sight of God. They kept on worshiping other gods. So God says, I'm going to gather the nations together, collect the kingdoms, to pour on them my fury, all my hot anger, for all the earth shall be burned up with the fire of my jealousy. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's talking about here in Revelation 16.
So, in other words, when God's judgment comes, it's not just a location.
Well, he's going to gather the nations in one location, it sounds like. But yeah, this is the eventual cleansing of the earth is going to be the whole earth by fire.
Worldwide, right. Yeah.
So when we look at Revelation 16 and verse 13, it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So in verse 14, it says, these spirits are spirits of demons working miracles. And they go forth to gather the kings of the earth and of the whole world, gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So this is talking about the end of time. This is going to be this gathering by these three unclean spirits coming out of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet.
Okay.
So who's the dragon? Who is the beast? And who is the false prophet? So, you know, if you're familiar with the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel, you know that we see these terms in previous chapters. And we can find these different names of these beasts, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet in other scriptures in Revelation.
Okay.
And so we can identify who these are. And actually, these three, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet represent different religions. The dragon, which is pagan Rome, represents paganism.
Okay.
The beast, which we, through different studies, have identified as the papal portion of dragon or the beast of Revelation 13, and that represents Catholicism.
And we've talked about that at length in the past.
And the false prophet represents apostate Protestantism, which we find in the end of Revelation 13.
So what does that mean, apostate Protestantism? What exactly does that mean for the listeners?
They have left the truth of God's word and have created their own religion.
Okay.
And so, based on partial truth, partial falsehood.
So Protestantism are those who protested the Catholic Church and left.
Right.
And some of them have come away to believe the truth of what God's word says.
Uh-huh.
And then they turn apostate by leaving that truth that they once knew.
And again, accepting some of the doctrines of the Catholic Church,
yes,
which they at first rejected.
Now, I know there may be some Catholics listening,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to let you know that this might be shocking to you. I'm sure it is. But if you'd like more information on how these things are so, we have some sermons on the website, The Mark of the Beast, The Antichrist Power, and if you just go and type those in, it'll come right up.
So in Revelation 16, it says that these are actually led by spirits of demons working miracles in verse 14 of chapter 16, which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle that day, that great day of God Almighty. And then Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is the one who watches and keeps his garments, lest he should walk naked and they see his shame." So what's that talking about, watching and keeping his garments?
Well, it's interesting because if we go all the way back to the Old Testament when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they felt naked.
Right.
And we, go ahead.
And they, because they felt naked, they covered themselves with fig leaves.
Right. They made their own garments. And God says, just to summarize it, God was saying, "You can't save yourself, so I have to save you." So,
right. Even though they made their own garments, they still felt
naked. Right. And so he covers them with garments of skin, it tells us. And so when we see that covering of garments of skin, that's God showing them. He actually made a sacrifice in the garden and took the skins. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God, I accept that was a lamb in the book of Genesis, and he took that skin and covered them so that they would not be naked. They would be covered by the righteousness of Christ so long as they accepted what Christ would do for them.
Right. And so here we see that, Jesus is warning us, make sure that you keep your garments clean, that you, at least you walk naked and they see, your shame. And, it's talked about in Revelation chapter 3, this idea of garments. If we go there, Revelation 3, and we look at the council to the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:14, let me just read this from the Modern King James Version. Revelation 3:14. "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the head of the creation of God, says these things." Of course, this is Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
"I know your works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's pretty descriptive,
that's graphic,
isn't it?
Yes.
Verse 17. "Because you say, 'I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked."
Hmm.
Verse 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire, so that you may be rich, and white clothing, that so that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, have sat down with my Father in his throne. He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we look at verses 17 and 18. You know, the church of Laodicea, this is the last church in the world, in the time period of the world's history. And it says, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hmm. And Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothing so that you may be clothed, so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. This gold purified by fire, this richness, is called being rich in faith.
Amen.
And this white clothing is the clothing of Christ's righteousness, his blood that was shed on the cross for my sins, and to be covered with his righteous life, so that my nakedness, my sinfulness, does not appear. And it says, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. You may see the truth of God's words. You may see the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe the words on the page.
Yeah.
So this is what it's meaning about, you know, don't be found naked in Revelation chapter 16.
So we want the righteousness of Christ. We want his garments covering us.
Right.
And one way that we do this is by the things that we've talked about in the past, by Christ in you.
Right. And remember at the end of Revelation chapter 3 in the Laodicean church, it talks about overcoming as Christ has overcome the world. We're to overcome sin in our lives.
Sure.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah, we can't continue living a sinful life if we expect to have the righteousness of Christ cover us.
So this warning about the gathering by the demons for that great day of God, says, behold, I'm coming as a thief in verse 15. Blessed is the one who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That means stay in that relationship with Jesus. Hmm. You know, accept his gift, freely given to each one of us, the gift of his bloodshed on Calvary and the gift of his Spirit dwelling in our hearts and minds to help us live life according to the way God created us to live.
Okay.
And so let's take a closer look at this idea of who the dragon is.
That sounds good.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 12.
Okay. Revelation 12.
And let's read the first six verses. Do you mind reading that?
I will try to read that. It says here, Revelation 12, 1 through 6. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and having 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Okay, so here we have this prophecy. In verse 1, this woman clothed with the sun is really God's people. If you want to group God's people, you could call this woman represents a church. It's not a denomination. Right. It's not a particular belief system. It's those that are faithful to God. And she's clothed with the sun. The sun represents the gospel of the kingdom of God, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those two terms are interchangeable if you've studied that in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hmm. And the moon under her feet represents the gospel of the Old Testament that was demonstrated through the sanctuary services. Because the moon reflects the sun, and so the sanctuary services, even what you were talking about in the Garden of Eden, that sacrifice, right, represents the plan of salvation being put into effect. that those sacrifices represented what Christ would come and do on the cross. And it was their faith in what those sacrifices represented that brought about a forgiveness of sin.
It salvation wasn't, for them.
It wasn't the blood of those animals that enabled that. It was what they represented.
It and showed so, they had faith in those
yes.
things.
And so here we see this idea of the gospel in the history of the world. And the 12 stars on the crown on her head represent the 12 apostles, because they would be preaching that gospel after Christ went back to heaven. And so we see that this idea of the gospel involves a babe in the womb.
Yeah.
And we see that there's this great red dragon in verse 3 having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns on his head. That should be familiar for those who have studied Daniel 7
sure.
and Revelation 13. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them onto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, being about to bear, so that when she might bear, he might devour her child. So when we look at the birth of Christ on this earth, there was a man named King Herod.
Right, that's right. I remember that.
And there was wise men that came and asked him questions about, we're looking for the Messiah. We've seen his star in the sky. Where can we find him?
Right.
And so the king called his, advisors, and they gave him this prophecy in Micah 5:2 in Bethlehem that you'll find this ruler of Israel. And so King Herod became jealous.
Mm.
And he ordered a decree that all male children born in the nation of Israel, because Israel was captive underneath Rome, and
right.
Herod was a Roman ruler, he ordered them to be put to death.
Any child that was 2 years and under,
yes.
right? So this, at that time, this would have actually killed Jesus as an infant.
Right. And so, this dragon in verse 4, in verse 3, this red dragon represents the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire. This red dragon, the Roman Empire had different banners or pennants or flags
okay.
with different symbols. And one of their symbols was of a dragon, and that dragon was red.
Ah.
And when it says in verse 4 that his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them onto the earth, represents their domination of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had different levels of rulership or leadership.
Hmm.
You had your judges, the governing of the religious body, and they had kings.
Okay.
Well, the kings were not in existence because they were under the rulership of Roman. So one-third of those rulers were thrown down or cast to the earth, where it represented the kings. And this is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, that there would be no scepter between the feet of Judah and Israel when the Messiah was born.
It's amazing that these things were foretold so yes. far in advance, hundreds of years.
Now, many churches teach that this dragon represents Satan, and it's given that Satan is the power and the authority behind all paganism and evil in this earth, on this earth.
Right.
And so, but he has people and nations and rulers that he uses on this earth to accomplish his works. And so this red, great red dragon represents pagan Rome, who tried to kill Christ when he was born on this earth.
Okay, so in verse 3, it talks about, in this translation, it says, a great fiery red dragon. having seven heads and 10 horns and had seven diadems. So who did we determine that was? This great, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads. We talked about that, about Daniel 7.
Daniel 7, right. And Revelation 13.
Yeah.
And so let's go to Revelation 13 first.
Okay.
And let's just read verses 1 and 2. You want to read
that? Sure. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having, just as what we read over there, seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And it says, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority.
So here we have two symbols that we found in Revelation 16.
Yes.
The dragon and the beast. And we see associated with this beast coming up out of the sea, seven heads, 10 horns, and on its horn were 10 crowns, and on its heads was the name of blasphemy. And so we see that this is the Roman Empire. And we have two divisions of the Roman Empire in verse 2. The dragon represents the pagan division.
Okay.
And the beast represents the papal division.
That's interesting, isn't it? And so, again, remember that how this ties in with Daniel is we see this leopard, this bear, and this lion, and those are things that we saw in Daniel that represented kingdoms.
Right. Let's go to Daniel 7.
Okay.
And look at that. Daniel chapter 7.
All right.
I'm having trouble finding it on my computer.
Oh, wow.
You imagine that.
Okay, I'm there in Daniel 7.
Let's read the first eight verses.
Okay, I'll try to read that if that's all right. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
So here we have these same beasts that are mentioned in Revelation 13. And if you notice that the beast in Daniel 7 were in the opposite order of those in Revelation 13.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, that's because Daniel was living in a time much earlier than John, who wrote Revelation. And so the dream is looking ahead to the future kingdoms of the world.
Okay.
And so the lion represents Babylon. The bear represents Medo-Persia.
Right.
The leopard represents Greece. Right. And then the great beast represents the Roman Empire.
Okay.
And this is the order in which the kingdoms of the earth occurred.
Exactly as he prophesied. Now, keep in mind that Daniel was prophesying this in about 600 B.C. or so.
Right.
And so when John is writing that we're reading in Revelation, this is about 100 A.D.
And he's living during the time of the Roman Empire.
So, in other words, he's looking back in history.
Yes.
So now everything is the opposite. He's right. Reading it. He's kind of recounting, going the other direction.
Right. And so in Daniel chapter 7, you see a distinction between the pagan portion of the Roman Empire and the papal portion in terms of there was a little horn that came up among the ten horns. That's that papal division, that papal power.
Okay.
And those ten horns represent the ten kingdoms, the barbarian tribes that invaded Rome, which is now modern-day Europe. Three of those horns were plucked up. They don't exist anymore, but those seven are now modern Europe.
That was the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths.
That were plucked up.
That were plucked out.
That no longer in existence. There's no remaining heritage from those people groups.
Now, what's interesting about that is it was this Roman power that did that.
Yes.
And what was the reason for that, Ed? Why were those three kingdoms destroyed?
It was a difference in religious beliefs.
Hmm.
The three tribes that were plucked up, you might want to say they had Arian background. From the Bishop Arius.
Okay.
And they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, we're not really sure exactly
right
their belief on this issue, but they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the literal Son of God.
Right.
And, of course, the Catholic Church teaches something different, that Jesus is God himself. He's not the Son of God, but God himself.
Right.
And so because of this conflict between the Bishop of Rome and these invading nations, which, by the way, they persecuted each other. They made war with each other.
Right.
And it was the pagan Roman Emperor Justinian that conquered these three nations for that papal power. And Justinian declared the Bishop of Rome, or the Pope, the head of all churches.
Okay. So we have there, there's also a time period where other Christians were persecuted during this time period we call the Dark Ages.
Yes, and that was after this Bishop of Rome, or the Pope, was given his great authority.
Yeah.
And we see that in Revelation 13:2, and the dragon gave him its power and seat and great authority, talking about the beast. The Roman Empire, the pagan division, gave the papal division its seat and great authority. Constantine moved the seat of government from Rome to Constantinople and made the Bishop of Rome the authority in Rome.
Wow. What a history lesson.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that these things were foretold before they happened. And you know, there's nothing that any human could do to thwart the prophecies once God says, this is what will happen.
Right. And so when we look at these evil spirits, the spirits of the demon coming up out of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, these are religious symbols, religious belief symbols.
Okay.
Of paganism, Catholicism, and apostate Protestantism.
Okay.
So if we look at towards the end of Revelation 13, we see in verse 11 this another beast coming up out of the earth. And it had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon.
Hmm. Yeah, I see that.
This represents the United States of America.
Okay.
And the beast in the beginning of Revelation 13 came up out of the sea, which represents people, nations, and multitudes and tongues.
Yeah, we cover that in our Bible series that we do.
And so this beast coming out of the earth is coming out of a non-populated area. And it comes up at about the time that the beast was had a deadly wound that was healed. Well, we know that it's 1798 that the papacy, the Pope was taken captive by
Berthier,
yeah. A French general. But a few years later, the Pope was reinstated and is gradually regaining the power and influence that he had before that period of time.
So let me ask you, just for the benefit of those who are listening, does the Pope have some power today?
Oh, he has great influence today. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't only a few years ago he spoke before the combined Senate and House of Representatives and the President of the United States.
All right. So I wanted to clarify that because, you know, some people, if they're not keeping up with these things, they might not recognize the influence
the
papacy has.
Yeah. And, of course, the United States is a Protestant nation. The people that, the pilgrims that came over from the old world, from Europe,
right,
came because they wanted to live without a king and without a pope.
Yes.
They wanted civil liberty and religious liberty. And that's the two founding
principles
yeah. that this nation was created on.
Yes.
The United States is a republic.
Yes, it is.
It's to be governed by the people and for the people. And it's not to be a kingship, a dictatorship. It's not even a democracy.
Right.
As many people think. It's a republic.
Correct.
And so this beast that comes out of the earth will cause those dwelling on earth to worship the beast, that first beast, and would create an image to the beast who had the wound by the sword and lived in verse 14. So this represents apostate Protestantism. And so when we go back to Revelation 16, we see that these three symbols or these three belief systems, paganism, which is represented by the dragon, Catholicism, which is represented by the beast, and apostate
Protestantism
is represented by this false prophet.
Okay.
And so these demons will gather the whole kings of the earth and the whole world together for that great battle on that great day of God Almighty.
All right.
And this is talking about in Armageddon, which is, according to the Bible, is Har Megiddo.
Right.
Which is in literal Israel. Many people are preaching that Jesus is going to gather his people together in Israel. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
No, it doesn't. The Bible is very clear. So let's just take a look, just so people can understand. When Jesus comes back, is he gathering people together in a location, or what does it say? Can we look at 1 Thessalonians
sure.
chapter 4?
Sure.
Let's just take a look at that for a moment, because this makes it clear. Jesus prophesied this in Matthew chapter 24, and he talked about, in fact, we see the same type of phenomena happen that he talked about in Matthew 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Verse 13.
Yep, that's where I'm going to begin, is verse 13. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," talking about who have died, mm-hmm. "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus dies and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord."
So Jesus isn't gathering people on the earth.
No.
He's going to gather them
in the clouds.
Yeah.
Those who are who have died in Christ will be resurrected, and then those who are alive at that time will be taken up.
Right. So these events that we read about in Revelation 16 are going to occur just before Christ comes back to this earth.
Okay. So say that again. Say that again.
The events of Revelation 16 are going to occur before Christ comes back to this earth, the gathering of the nations together by okay. these evil spirits.
So these nations are actually going to be unified
yes.
in the things that they want to happen and in the things that they believe.
These three forms of religion, paganism, Catholicism, and apostate Protestantism, are going to unite in their belief.
Right. And Ed, I see that kind of forming at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we are in 2025, and there's been a major shift in the political elements here in the United States.
Yes.
And it seems that things are coming to the point to where there's a line in the sand.
Right.
You know, people are making choices now. And there might be division.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a certain type of unity occurring. I don't know if you see that or not when you see what's happening.
It's interesting. The last administration, President Biden's administration, compared to President Trump, who just took office, all of a sudden people are switching sides.
They are. I've noticed
those
that
were gung-ho and implementing, for lack of a better term, policies of the Biden administration.
Right.
I'll now say, no, that was wrong. We shouldn't have done that. But now we're on your side.
So, in other words, it seems like even though there was a terrible disunity, there is this within the leaders, it seems, there's a
we're talking about important influential media that are now switching sides.
Right.
It's just amazing.
And there's always going to be people who are going to disagree, and
right.
But you know, this is a really exciting time to be alive, it really is. And so here in Revelation chapter 16, we've gone through some of these things. Is there anything else that we need to cover here?
Well, you know, we're talking about being gathered on the earth, or being gathered in the air.
Yeah, the Bible says in the air.
How do you usually sign off a radio program?
If we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
When Christ comes
again. Christ comes. And that's the point, because we don't know what happens from day to day. We also see the same things in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
Right.
What's beautiful about that, Ed, is what we were reading about our garments. We were talking about Adam and Eve.
Right.
We were talking about these garments. So at that moment, instead of being covered by the righteousness of Christ in our sinful bodies, we will be changed to glorious bodies.
Right.
And it's going to be amazing, because at that moment, we will never get sick again. We will never sin.
No more death. No more pain. No more sorrow.
It's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
And it's all because we've put our hope and our trust and our faith in the Son of God.
Yeah. You know, I want to read something from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is Paul, who was converted by Jesus Christ himself. He had a vision where he received information from Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he became a Christian versus a man who was persecuting and putting
right.
to death Christians.
Right.
And here's what he writes to the people of Thessalonica. It says, verse 12, "And may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards one another and towards all, even as we also towards you, in order to establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints." He desires them to be present when Christ comes again.
Amen. And that's the thing. You know, what choice are we going to make?
Yes.
Are we going to choose Christ or not?
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to. So the other thing, I just wanted to point this out, and I made this comment earlier, that in Matthew 24,
yes.
I think it's important that people see this, because Jesus here, his disciples had asked him, what would be the sign of his coming?
Right.
You know, what would things be like at the end of the world?
Yeah, part of his warning is don't be deceived.
That's how he starts. He starts off that way in verse 4 of Matthew 24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." This is Jesus' words. He's speaking here. Right. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And didn't this happen at some point in history? Yeah. It has happened in history.
Yeah.
Where during the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
But this is also going to apply to the end of time. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, "Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Boy, I see that happening now. Everybody's offended by everything.
Yes.
Right? And there's so much division and hatred between people.
Let alone wars.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible.
And ideas that other wars could occur, you know, nation against nation.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now that's whether it's the end of our life or the end of the world.
Right. Notice in Revelation 16:13 that these three unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Yes, there you go. And that's what it says here, false prophets. Yeah. And then verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come."
Everyone's going to have the opportunity to make a choice.
We have to make a choice,
yeah.
Right? And that's what's going to happen. So as you read through this account, Jesus gives a number of warnings. He tells people not to believe it if they say that, if somebody says, "Well, I'm the Messiah," or "I'm the Christ," right, or "Look, here he is," or "There he is." And then he gives us the reason why. What were you going to say, Ed?
Well, also a secret place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was taught.
I'm coming in secret.
I was taught that in my church.
The secret rapture.
I see. And I wasn't taught that, but yeah, I was taught something completely different,
right,
but it was a secret.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, but right, we know. And I'm thinking, you know, that's terrible.
What did you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? "And those that remain."
That's right. Yeah.
"Not taken, those that remain."
Absolutely. So when we look at this, he goes on to say in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man," here it is, "coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So it doesn't say that he's on the earth at that time. It says he's in heaven. And here it is. This is going along with what we read in 1 Thessalonians. "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other."
You know, Luke 17 talks about Christ coming. It says in verse 33, "Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together, one will be taken and the other left. Two shall be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, 'Where, Lord?' And he said to them, 'Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered.'" They're not asking about the ones left, because we know that the one left in the bed is in the bed. The one
right,
left grinding is left grinding. The one left in the field is in the field. They're asking about the ones taken.
Yeah, where are they going to be taken?
Their body, they're going to be destroyed. The eagles, the birds will gather together to eat their
right,
body, to eat their flesh.
Right.
As the ones that remain are the ones that aren't shaken,
which
that are remaining at the coming of Jesus Christ.
Yes, which is the opposite of what many churches are teaching today. This is what Jesus is warning about. Do not be deceived.
The false prophets.
The false prophets. And this is why when we were talking about those three, when you talked about the apostate Protestantism, these are the people who have adopted these doctrines. That secret rapture doctrine is relatively new doctrine to Protestantism. And it has crept its way in and taken a hold, especially in the area that we live in.
Right.
It's huge in this area. But Ed, we have about a minute left or so. Is there anything you wanted to do to wrap this up?
You know, we went through these prophecies in Daniel and Revelation very, very, very fast.
We did.
And it would take a long, long, long time to go over each identifying characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
That information is on our website.
It is.
Through different evangelism series that we've done, through different sermons, and probably in different radio programs in the past that
we've done. Talked about it here, yes.
We just didn't have the time today to go over all this stuff. But study your Bible.
Amen.
Compare the Bible to the historical record of the world and see how these things fit together.
As you could hear today, friends, with the history lesson that Ed gave us, look into it. Look at these things. Find this information. It can be found. You have to dig a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just tremendous. So we're out of time, Ed. It's been a great history lesson and prophetic lesson as well, because they go together. So let's just have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to know you and your Son, and just to see, Father, that even though things in this world may seem out of control, Father, ultimately you are in control. And even though things may happen, we know that your prophecies cannot be thwarted. Father, we just ask that hearts can be moved to make a choice for Christ, that people will recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to understand and knowing you, Father, except through your Son. So please give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to not be deceived. And Father, please care for us and keep us safe until we come together again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Ed, thank you again. And friends, we're glad you are with us this evening. We hope you'll tune in again next week at 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.